So today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 12, and it can be found on page 1107 in the Pew Bibles. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. On Cyprus, the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant to the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Some of the words that we use, we sometimes don't fully understand. Or is that just me? I don't know. I had to look up a few commonly misunderstood words, and a few of them were ones that I wasn't really sure about. A chronic illness I thought was a really, really bad illness. And it is. It's not that. But the word chronic actually means reoccurring. So a chronic illness is one that keeps going and keeps going. Or a cult following. Star Wars has a cult following. Is that right? Well, maybe, but the idea of a cult following is a small group of people who are desperately keen on something. I remember many years ago, we were doing a language, Kate and I, in Nepal, and there was a whole mix of different nationalities, and we were learning some of the simple words of the Nepali language. We were doing language 5 months, and an Australian guy came up to us and said, just a little bit of a hint, a little bit of a hint. When your language teacher tells you the word boli, so Aja means today, he said, Hijo means yesterday, and Boli means tomorrow. He says, just a word of advice. Boli does not mean tomorrow. He said, it just means not today. So when he said you go to the shop and say, is my new suit ready that you've measured? And they go, oh, Boli, Boli. They don't mean come back tomorrow. He said, I've done that. They said, Boli, so I came back tomorrow. And they said, no, Boli, Boli. So I went back the next day and the next day. And what they meant was, not today. And sometimes we use words and misunderstand words. And mission is one of those words that if I asked you to write down what mission was on a bit of paper and then collated it, there'd be a wide variety of understandings of what mission is. What it looks like, what's involved in it, where it is, where it isn't, who does it, who doesn't do it. So as we start our mission month, we're going to be looking a little bit at what mission means and how we understand it before we have some visiting speakers come and tell about how they do mission. To help us in this, we've heard a passage, but we're also going to reflect a little bit on this statement. I'm conscious it's quite small, so I will read it out for you. But at the moment, the Baptists together, Baptist Union as it used to be called, are going through a three-year process, because as Baptists, why do anything quickly? We can do it slowly. So a three-year process of trying to get a unified mission statement amongst Baptist churches. And this is what they've said. Our mission, our witness, humbly embraces every aspect of life and includes proclamation to a broken world of the restorative purposes of our loving and gracious God, accomplished in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and demonstration of the love and compassion of God by serving all in need with compassion and generosity, and by prophetically speaking to power and acting for justice, and by acting in ways to protect, nurture, and sustain God's creation. And I think their hope is that over these 3 years, churches and Bible colleges and all those Baptist groups will be reflecting what that means for them. There are a number of things that are really helpful as we look at mission before we turn to our Bible passage to draw out of that statement. The first of them is this sense that there is both proclamation and demonstration in mission. Mission is not just about telling people about Jesus. It's also about showing people about Jesus. It's not just about word, but deed, or as they put it, proclamation and demonstration. If our actions don't match our words, then the message is mixed. There's also another aspect that we're going to be looking at, and we'll probably pick up during the month of mission that we're doing. That sense there of the restorative purposes of our loving God with a love and compassion of God. This is mission. It is about showing God's love and bringing restoration to a world that needs restoration. Restoration of peace, restoration of health, restoration of the environment, restoration of people's lives, restoration of their relationship with God. And the third part is that reminder that mission works is needed because we live in a broken world. And of all the things about mission I need to tell you, that's probably the least hard to tell you. We know we live in a broken world because we look at our news feeds and we hear our neighbours and we hear about waiting lists and conflict and employment, lack of employment opportunities and pressures on young people. There is lots in there. Now, interestingly, if you are like me and like to search for words in the Bible, there is only one mention in the NIV Bible in the New Testament of the word mission. Interesting, isn't it? There's loads about mission, as we'll see, but there's only one mention. And that actually is when Barnabas and Saul came back from their mission to take money to Jerusalem to support a famine that was going on there. So we can't just Google mission and see where does mission come into the New Testament. We have to look for it. And there are a number of important ways in which that works. There's a sense in which you can first and foremost see mission in the life of Jesus. Jesus had a mission. It was described probably most clearly in that quote from Isaiah 61 that he read at the start of his ministry in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. You would have thought he'd based it on that Baptist Together statement, wouldn't you? But maybe they based their statement on his words. But Jesus lived and showed a mission to bring God's kingdom here, to heal, to proclaim, to turn people back to God. We see it in the life of the disciples. Peter ministering to Cornelius, the Roman. Philip meeting the Ethiopian eunuch in the desert and telling him and baptizing him. But we perhaps are most clearly associate mission in the New Testament with a man called Saul, who later became Paul. And the book of Acts spends most of its time talking about Paul's missionary journeys in its second half. Wayne Meeks, an American theologian, estimates that if you read the accounts in the New Testament, that Paul travelled over 10,000 miles on his missionary journeys. Think of the air miles he could have got if only he'd been the planes had been around. The story, the passage we heard today, reflects the first of those missionary journeys. And I've chosen this one, not necessarily because of the mission that he does, but because it also includes about the call to mission. Hopefully you can see on that map there's Cyprus, but there on the top right-hand corner is Antioch. What a church to be in Antioch was. When Luke writes about it in Acts, it sort of lists these amazing people who are there, two of whom are Paul and Barnabas. It's important that we remember Paul and his missionary journeys by the call on his life. And we'll in a moment look at what they said in the church in Antioch. But to go back to his call to be a missionary, you need to step back even further. You need to step back to the time when he was converted by a blinding light and Jesus saying, "Why do you persecute me?" And he lost his sight and he went and God spoke to a Christian. If you know the story, I'm sure you do. I spoke to a Christian called Ananias. And he was told to go to Saul, to Paul, and help restore his sight. And this is why the Lord said to Ananias about Paul, this is early on in Acts, "Go because I have chosen Paul to serve me, to make my name known to Gentiles and kings and to the people of Israel. And I myself, said God, will show Paul all that he must suffer for my sake." And so as we look at Paul's missionary journeys, that call in his life was right at the start of him being a Christian. And the same is true for us as Christians. We also have that call. That call to witness, to be an instrument to carry the name of Christ. For Paul, it was to both Gentiles and kings. But for us, it could be a variety of people. It could be our family. It could be our localities. It could be abroad. But also, Paul, there is a sense there that it is a sacrificial call. Paul had to suffer, and if you read Acts, you'll find out quite how much he suffered. But the reality was that Paul, right at the start, was called, as we all are, to share and be missioners, or to be a missionary. But his specific missionary journey that we're looking at there, where he'll set off, started off in this wonderful church in Antioch. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, we heard in verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." There's a few things we can learn about this. Firstly, how God had called two of their best people to leave the church and to go away. It's interesting that it's not necessarily clear often to us how sacrificial it is for churches to send out missionaries. I heard of a church down in London, I can't remember the name of it, but they sent out so many missionaries. Some were saying, "Well, who's left to do stuff at church?" They'd sent out 8 missionary couples in the 80s and 90s. And there was a danger. Well, who's going to do the stuff here? But that's the whole point. Mission calls us to send our best. And these are two of the best. F.F. Bruce, the Scottish evangelical scholar, noticed about the laying on of hands that were imparted to Barnabas and Saul at this point, that it wasn't giving them the spiritual gift or authority that they did not already possess. But by this means, the Church of Antioch, through its leaders, expressed its fellowship with them, to recognize them as its delegates or apostles. This whole sense that it was a whole church a commissioning. It was a whole church involvement in mission. Paul and Barnabas and others went, but it was the church that was doing mission, but through them. And you get that sense when they return in Acts 14, at the end of this journey, you can see there, where it says, on arriving back at Ephesus, they gathered the church together and reported all they had done, all God had done through them, and how he'd opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Mission is something we do together. It's not just for missionaries. So how did the mission look on Cyprus? And you can see from their map that they essentially sailed, and like any sensible person, they're obviously their Google map said the quickest place to get to Cyprus is, there are alternative routes, but is, let's go to Salamis and land there. And so that's what they did. And they went to Salamis, the eastern regional centre of Cyprus, and then they kept on going. And they went across west all the way to Paphos. And here they went to witness to Sergius Paulus. What a fantastic Roman name. Why call yourself Paul when you can be Paulus? Why just call yourself Paulus when you can be Sergio Paulus? And he was the proconsul. A proconsul was someone who acted on behalf of the consul and had lots of administrative power. And so this was a big cheese in Cyprus. This was the Roman person. And it's interesting, isn't it? Acts tells us that he was a clever man, an intelligent man. But he had someone around him who had his ear. Elymas, the sorcerer. We don't know exactly what Elymas did or what sort of sorcery he did. But we do know that when Paul and Barnabas tried to tell the proconsul about the gospel of God, about the gospel of Jesus, he didn't like it. He tried to turn the proconsul away from what was being said. And so a bit like Elijah and the prophets on Mount Carmel in the Old Testament, here something happens, God intervenes. I find it really interesting that what God did was to make his vision go. It says it's temporary for a time, but it made his vision go. That's more than just an affliction in this passage. There's something theological about that, because there's a sense in which he was already blind spiritually. He heard also what Paul and Barnabas said, but chose to reject it. He tried to make others reject it as well, in a sense, anti-mission. Going there and trying to say to the proconsul, don't believe. And so that spiritual blindness became a physical blindness for a while. Does that sound familiar? Well, it does. Because Paul, earlier on in Acts, when he was Saul, also was an anti-missioner. He went around and arrested Christians, put them in prison, and he got permission to go around beyond Jerusalem and beyond to continue to do the same. And then he met Jesus, and he too had a physical manifestation of that spiritual blindness that he had. And that's where Ananias and what he mentioned came further. There's something important here, isn't there, about how God intervened. The Holy Spirit was involved in that mission, that connection of words spoken and things happening. We're really lucky in this mission month to have some people sharing about mission as it is today. We looked a little bit last week at, here's a little scene of what happened, just in case you are a visual learner. There's the sorcerer wandering off in a dark cloud. Last week we looked a little bit about BMS. Used to be called the Baptist Missionary Society, now renamed about 25 years ago as BMS World Mission. How do they do mission? Well, they're moving away from being a primarily ascending organization, into something they're calling polycentric mission. If you want to understand more about that, Malcolm goes to the council meetings, and he's got a really good handle of some of the things that they're doing up to date. But what they're saying is polycentric mission, the clue's in the title, is from here to there, from there to here, from everywhere to everywhere. So not just west to other countries, but from other countries to the west. Not just from here to parts of the world, but from parts of the world to here. And they're saying that actually we need to go back to that BMS statement, we need to partner, we need to be involved. We're also going to hear from Compassion UK. For those of you who are not aware, Compassion primarily understand mission by partnering with local churches, yes, but by child sponsorship. A number of you may at some point or even now have a child sponsorship. And they will explain a little bit. Yuli, who's coming to share, will share a little bit about what that looks like. We're also going to hear a little bit from Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, which collects shoeboxes, I'm sure you're aware, filled with toys and school supplies and hygiene items, and delivers them to children in need. They currently estimate that since 1990, over 232 million shoeboxes have been sent out. Their understanding of mission, and we'll hear a little bit from Brenda about how that works and how they understand it. We're also going to hear a little bit from Anna, our very own Anna, about her trip with to Uganda with Mission Direct. And this is from the Mission Direct website. Enables everyday people to make a practical and lasting difference to some of the world's most vulnerable people. All very different forms of world mission, aren't they? From BMSs, from everywhere to everywhere, from Mission Direct saying you come for a short-term trip, and then lots of short-term trips, and there's people in country, that makes a difference. To shoeboxes, it's only a shoebox, but it has a message with it, and it changes things, and 230 million messages of hope are really important. Or compassion. If you help a child, then you help a family. If you help a family, you help a community. They're all very different, but if you look in a bit of detail, there are a number of different things that tie them together and tell us about how we can be involved in mission. Maybe not mission abroad, but mission in our communities. The first one there really is about self-giving. We're going to share communion in a bit, which is the ultimate example of self-giving, where Jesus gave up himself for us, literally his body and his blood. And that was to fulfill his mission. And so all these organizations, and if we're called to mission, we're called to give of our time, of our money, of our energy, of enthusiasm. It's also noticeable, looking at these different groups, they all work in partnership. So Mission Direct will work with local groups there. Compassion UK will work through local churches and local organisations. BMS are very strong on partnership with other groups. Operation Christmas Child, we may pack the boxes, but who takes them? Who gives them? Who follows up on them? But also, physical and spiritual needs. As we saw, mission is about words and deeds, demonstration, proclamation. It's about that holisticness of saying with our mouths, Jesus loves you, and with our actions, Jesus loves you. And these organizations are all doing that. So, what about us? How should we respond? That's the three things we've just mentioned there. Well, I think we can come back to this slide. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. How can we be missionaries? Some are called to travel to different lands, to different cultures, and to learn different things. Please don't rule yourself out of being involved in world mission. You may not be called to go, but you may be. You may not be called to give of your time, but you may be called to give of your money. But what about local mission? About our communities around where we live? About the different ministries the church has or you might be involved in? Maybe we can be involved there. But secondly, we have to reflect on what the Spirit wants us to do. What is God calling us to do? Is God saying, set apart for me this person to do this ministry? And if he is, can we hear him speaking? There is, of course, always that slight danger. And once Kate and I were in a church, I don't think we've been there very long, and someone came up to us and said, I feel the Spirit, you know, I very much feel that you two are called to lead this children's club in an evening. And our response very much was, well, he hasn't spoken to us about it yet. And actually, we did other things. We got involved in a startup, a justice group, and we got involved in house group leadership. There is an element, but sometimes, people will come up to you and say, I believe you might be involved in this. I believe you might be getting involved in that. And actually, it's the third person who said that, or you'd already been thinking that. We have to hear the Spirit's words. And the third thing, is we have to be able to work with others. Paul is the big face, isn't he, of mission in the second half of Acts. It's all about Paul. Paul did this and Paul did that, and Paul fell out with Barnabas, and Paul got arrested, and Paul spoke in Areopagus, and Paul did this. We sometimes forget that actually Paul didn't do it on his own. If you look even just on his missionary journeys, let alone the letters he writes and who are the churches there, there are some really important people who helped him. We've already talked about one, haven't we? Barnabas, Timothy, Mark, Silas, Luke, who wrote Acts, Priscilla and Aquila, Epaphras, Aristarchus, and Tychius. They're all named as going with Paul on some or part of these missionary journeys. We work together in mission by supporting each other. And so if we are to boast of anything, let us boast in the Lord. Let's speak to those around us. I don't know how you'll find this month, but do be open and listen. Listen to how God is saying to you, respond in this way. Set apart for me this time or this money or yourself. We all have a role to play. You don't need a pith hat, short and knobbly knees to be a missionary anymore. You just need a heart to respond to the Spirit's urging and to that call to a broken world to demonstrate and proclaim that Jesus Christ died and rose again for the entire world. Let's pray together. Lord, as we journey through this mission month, help us not just to hear what you are doing, but to hear what you want us to do. Help us never to rule ourselves out from your mission, because we are part of it. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to respond to your Spirit's prompting this month. We thank you for all those organisations you're going to share, for all those who have been involved in mission abroad or mission at home, all those who are now. Lord, we thank you that they respond as Paul and Barnabas did to the call to go. Lord, we thank you for that honour and privilege it is. Speak to us this month, we pray. Amen.